Good morning. Please stand as we sing our call to worship. Blessed be the name.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, and this music from our very soul be acceptable to you during this hour. If you'll remain standing, I know you don't have bulletins, but remain standing. We'll join in the first hymn, which is number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Please stand.
Standing, we'll join in our psalm together, which is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be worshipped. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In the Lord's word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord is plenteous redemption, and the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquities. Please be seated. We'll join in a time of prayer this morning. Are there joys or concerns we want to share with the congregation? Remember, we're live, so we only want to use first names. Yes, Keith. Wanda, yeah. Yep, Wanda's got COVID, is what I understand, so bless her. And Richard. All right, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Loving God, who watches over us like a parent, delighting in our happiness and weeping over all the ways we harm one another, guide us, nurture us, empower us to be your peacemakers and mercy bringers in this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful God, the world is full of war and violence and injustice and oppression. We are surrounded on all sides by misfortunes and half-truths and lies. Give us the courage to tell the truth of your love, to protect the innocent, and to resist evil in every way it presents itself. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Gracious God, our neighborhoods are full of people who are struggling to make ends meet, struggling to find stability, struggling to find community. Empower us to notice them, to reach out to them, and to love our neighbors as you have called us to love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God of hope, our lives are filled with so many reasons for despair. Loneliness abounds, uncertainty overwhelms, and suffering feels constant. Fill us with the warmth of your love and inspire us to extend a hand or a hug or a smile or a gesture of connection in a disconnected world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Oh God, you know the concerns of the church this morning, those we have lifted up aloud and those we have kept in our hearts. And we know you are already working in those situations. And we give you thanks for that. And we pray that you will help us not just to trust that you will be at work in those situations, but you will help us to be open to how you would work through us in each of those prayer requests. We pray you will give us the love, the grace, and the patience that Jesus teaches us. And we ask now you hear our silent prayers as we lift them to you. Oh God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world to teach us how to live, how to love each other, and how to pray. When he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let us worship now with our tithes and our offerings. God, we pray you will bless the giving and the receiving of these gifts. Amen. Standing for our hymn.
It's going to be on the 462. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Thank you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, and in sinful faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
You may be seated. I'm going to mark the last hymn so that I'll save a little time here. I'm learning. I don't think I got it right. There it is. Okay. All right. I think I'm learning. You know, I'm trainable. So. Well, 2 weeks ago, I told you I thought it was my last Sunday, but I really do think today is my last Sunday with you, and I just want to say a thank you to each of you for the kind words, for the support that you've given to me, and it's been my honor and privilege to help out in a time of need. You all are going to be blessed to hear Ed from here on out, and I just pray your best blessings on Ed and his ministry here. And I'll be his chief substitute. I've offered to be his chief substitute, so we'll see if he calls on me. So, if ever he can't be here. The sermon title this morning is From the Inside Out, since you don't have a bulletin. We're talking about things from that start inside and come out. Everybody's angry in the scriptures this morning. We start in 2 Samuel. We're still talking about King David. And this is from the end of the 18th, or several readings from the 18th chapter. King David gave orders to his leaders, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders concerning Absalom. So when the army went out in the field against Israel, the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. The men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter there was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of the country, and the forests claimed more victims that day than the sword. Absalom appeared to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under a thick branch of a great oak. His head caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And 10 young men, Jacob's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has vindicated you this day, delivering you from the power of all who rose up against you." The king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" The Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to do you harm be like that young man." The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And then in 1 Kings, we have Elijah. We kind of pick up here a little out of context, but I'll help bring that into context here a little bit later. But Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep, and suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake bread on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And then we come to Ephesians. This is Paul. He's fussing at the people in the church of Ephesus. Here's what he tells them in chapter 4. "So then, putting away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Those who steal must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor, doing good work with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, for which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And finally, our gospel lesson comes from the 6th chapter of John. We're just finishing up. Jesus said he was the bread of life last week, and so we pick up right there in the 35th verse. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered him, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written by the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who comes from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the story from 2 Samuel, in case, like me, you've forgotten, is about David's son Absalom, who's rising up against his own father. But David has given the instructions for his men to destroy Absalom's army, but not to harm Absalom, to spare him, which they did. And as people interpret that story, it sounds like he kind of got hung up in a tree, and the guard came and kind of did a mercy killing as he was hanging there. So he ends up dying in a freak accident. But David is still heartbroken because, despite his best effort to save his son, he died anyway. Of course, any other person who had tried to overthrow the king would have been killed without hesitation. But because this was his own son, David wanted to spare his life. And then we move to Elijah. He's feeling kind of bad. There's disagreement among scholars as to why, but he's alone in the woods sleeping when an angel wakes him up and gives him something to eat twice. But he's just come off, and this is how it's out of context, but you'll remember these stories. He's just come off of the encounter with the other gods, Baal and Asherah. And you remember Elijah has the prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, to build an altar and put a sacrifice on it, but not to light the fire. And then Elijah does the same thing. And he says, you call on your God of Baal to light your fire, and I'll call on the God of Israel to light this fire. And we'll see who wins. You remember that story. And of course, Baal never shows up, and God lights the fire for Elijah. And the 450 prophets are killed as false prophets. That's what you did. Later, he has the prophets of the god Asherah try to make it rain. And he comes out of both of those encounters. The same thing happens. Their god can't make it rain. The god of Israel does make it rain. And he comes out of both of those encounters demonstrating the power of God and the supremacy of God. But for some reason, he's troubled, and maybe it's because even though he won, the prophets were all killed. Now, Paul in Ephesus, he's a little upset too with the Christians there in Ephesus. While witnessing to others, it's been reported that they've been kind of ugly, kind of talking down to those who didn't believe like they do. And Paul reminds them that even though the locals may be corrupt or may seem corrupt, they're still to be treated with the grace and love which God sees them. And then we have, in John's gospel, people listening to Jesus very, very confused about this whole bread of life thing. And they begin talking about Jesus kind of negatively, and he doesn't even respond. He just doubles down on what he's saying. That he is the bread of life, and he explains that he has come from the Father. So there's a lot of people upset this week. David's upset, Elijah's upset, Paul's upset, Jesus is upset, the people listening to Jesus are upset. I don't know how y'all are feeling this morning. Maybe we're all upset. But we tend to think that everything in our life would if everything in our life would go right, we would be happy. You know, if we had a better job, more money, maybe a stronger deodorant, a perfect spouse, a nicer car, whatever it was, et cetera, we'd be happy. But here we have Elijah and David who've just won some big, important battles, but they aren't happy. And the Christians in Ephesus are growing the church, but they're losing friends and they're dividing the town. They're not happy either. And when Paul talks to them, and that was a little out of context, but listen to these words again. He says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Some good words from Paul. But so often, it seems like in order for something good to happen to one person, something bad has to happen to somebody else. There was a great example of that this week. I don't know if you've been watching the Olympics, but we always do. My wife loves to watch gymnastics, so if I want to spend any time with her this week, I get to watch gymnastics too. Actually, I like gymnastics. It's incredible what those folks can do. But in the women's gymnastics this week, they had their big floor routines, and Brazil's Rebeca Andrade won the gold by far. Simone Biles, who we all have heard a zillion times, she won the silver, and Jordan Chiles received the bronze. Barbosu, her tour jeté full leap, which would have awarded her another tenth of a point. And when they went back and looked at the film, she had in fact done that. They awarded her the tenth of a point, and it moved her from fifth place to third. Well, the camera was on her when they made this announcement, and she was standing with Simone Biles, and they jumped up and down, and they were just leaping for joy, and everybody was happy, two Americans on the podium. And then the camera switched to the Romanian girl who had just had the bronze medal taken away from her. And she was in tears in her coach's arms and realized, gosh, we won, but she had to lose in order for Simone to get that. And then, if you're still paying attention, yesterday all of that was reversed. It seems that the inquiry was made too late. They only had like a minute or 2 minutes or something to make the inquiry, and they waited too long. And so even though she did the move and she should have gotten the credit, the inquiry came in too late. So on a technicality, they took the bronze back from Jordan and gave it to the Romanian girl. So what I thought was going to be a great sermon illustration, I thought had been ruined yesterday when they undid it. But I thought that makes it even better, because both of these girls know what it's like to have something good and have it taken away, and somebody else get it. You know, that when something good happens to you, sometimes something bad has to happen to someone else. And sometimes we may want someone not to do well. I have to say, there are times when I watch the Olympics and I see somebody who might be a little bit conceited or stuck up or something. There's part of me that kind of hopes they lose. I know you all never feel that way, but I just wanted to share that some of us do. And sometimes we revel in upsetting somebody. You hear people say, well, I made him mad, but I got my way. I got what I wanted. I'm like, did you really win? If you made somebody mad, even though you won, you made somebody mad. You may have lost a friend. So, there's often in competition, there's trash talk, and I like good-hearted trash talking. But sometimes it gets a little more than just a good-natured rivalry. And sometimes I do want somebody not to do well. And the same is true. Another great example is elections. I know lots of times there have been candidates that you may have wanted to lose more than you wanted somebody else to win. And we won't go into who, all that kind of stuff. But we know sometimes we do that. There's a great German word for this, and if any of you speak German, I apologize. But it's called Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. Is that right? Who speaks German? Schadenfreude? Did I get it right? Close. Okay. It's when you take pleasure in someone else's misfortune. And I'm sure King David may have felt a tinge of that as he saw those who would take the throne from him being killed in battle. He might have thought, you're getting what you deserve. And we know Elijah did. He was a little bit giddy. I didn't read this part, but he kind of goads those who are trying to send fire down on his prophets. He even joked that maybe their God was in the bathroom and couldn't hear them praying. We often take pleasure in our rivals going down and getting beaten. And the Christians in Ephesus had gotten so caught up in spreading the word of God, they got a little derailed by some negative feelings about some of the people around them. And although they were building the church, they were doing so at the expense of ruining their reputation and dividing their town. And when your Christian witness offends others, perhaps it's not so good a Christian witness. You may have heard the phrase, feeding off your anger, and sometimes anger can motivate us to do well. We've seen that in the Olympics too. Sometimes people get angry and they do well. But usually anger just eats us up from the inside out. Anger has a way of seething within us and reaching its tentacles of negativity into other parts of our being. I've led a workshop on a couple of occasions on how to apologize. That sounds like a pretty simple thing, but it's about a 30-minute workshop. It's pretty intense. We won't go into that today. But the last step, as you may have guessed, is that you ask the person to whom you're apologizing to forgive you. And the first three steps are pretty intense, where you really look at what you're asking forgiveness for. It's a deep dive into your soul as to what you really did wrong. So if you've done those first three steps, then asking forgiveness is your way of letting go of the feelings you're carrying over the incident for which you're apologizing. So, and I'm always certain to point out that it's not, that it doesn't matter if your apology is accepted. Sometimes you offer an apology to somebody and they're not ready to forgive you. They're not ready to accept your apology. But the important thing is you've worked through your feelings and you're able to let that go. And this keeps your feelings from eating you from the inside out. And then you can pray for the other person that they will get where you are. But you've relieved yourself of that internal anger. The same is true for the person who's been wrong. A person can hang on for anger for years and years because they would rather sometimes be angry than content. And when you carry around anger, it can make you an angry person. And I can tell you, if you're truly angry about something, and I've known some people who are, there's no shame in getting some professional help to work through that. Third parties are great. Life's just too short to be angry, and I think that's the message that we're hearing this morning. As Elijah's lamenting the death of all the prophets, he's literally worn himself out. He's in the middle of nowhere. He's so downhearted that all he can do is sleep and pray for death. He doesn't have the energy to even find food, but he's restored by the bread and drink provided by God. God's gift to a distraught follower. And that same restoring bread offered to Elijah is the same sustaining and restoring bread Jesus claims to be in the gospel. The same bread given to us, distraught followers of God. The bread of life is spiritual nourishment that feeds us from the inside out. Ask Jesus to help you find that forgiveness for those you have wronged, or to give you the courage to ask forgiveness for someone that you've wronged. You remember our psalm this morning begins with, out of the depths, whatever those depths are for you, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice of my supplications. And our prayer this morning is that it may be so. We're not so good at letting go of hard feelings or judgment, and maybe sometimes even a little self-righteous about these things. But these are soul-killing thoughts and soul-killing feelings. So God can help us, can help pry those feelings from us if we will just let God do it. And it is through that sustaining bread that comes from Jesus that we can do that. So your challenge and your question for you today is, are you willing? Are you willing to let God pry those feelings away from you? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And now we have another hymn, right? Thank you.
It'll be up here. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment in the Spirit's call, resting my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior.
Benediction. Here it is. I do have a benediction for you this morning, I promise. Go forth in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.